Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Woo, thankful, grateful, and so blessed to be here this morning, to be alive today, and to wish my mom happy birthday. Happy birthday to my mother today. I am grateful, thankful, and blessed to still have her with us. And I am just a happy camper. So I just say thanking God for the righteous prayer from the prayer call I just got off. It was a hallelujah time, and I didn't want to get off, but God said, you got your own obligation. I hear your prayers. Hallelujah. So thanking God for another day. Lifting up the name of Jesus this morning, and letting the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you are redeemed, say, I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord today. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for another day. I'm just filled up this morning. Filled up from righteous prayer. Filled up that God is in charge of life, of liberty, of happiness, of righteousness. And the word that God gave me comes from Proverbs this morning. A Proverbs, and it says, blessed are the head of the righteous. Hallelujah. Blessed are the head of the righteous. And I thank God for his son, the most righteous of anyone ever created. So I thank you, Jesus, for another day. Father God in heaven, I come to you this morning, thanking you for another day, thanking you for my mother, thanking you that you have given her many years, God, more than your word says. And all I can say is I'm grateful to be able to spend time with her. Grateful to call her my travel buddy, God. Grateful to know that she is loved by you, God. So, Father God, I lift up mothers today, all mothers, God, asking you to watch over them, asking you to bless them, asking you to give them strength. Those that are going through, God, I ask you to guide them and to lead them. But you know who they are. You know the ones standing in hospital rooms with their babies in NICU. You know the ones, Lord God, who have had to bury their children because of gun violence in schools. You know the ones, God, who rejoice that their child is safe. Lord God, I ask you to bless our children, God. Lead and guide them towards you, God. And Father God, I rebuke the spirit of offense that is running rampant in our world, God, where police feel offended and think it's all right to beat someone to death, where someone feels as they're offended and think it's all right to murder a club full of people, our grocery store full of people just shopping. Lord God, are coming into the house of God, going and staying for the prayer meeting, and then coming back and shooting up your church and your people. God, we bind and rebuke the spirit of offense. Ask you, Father God, to remove the spirit of hatred of brothers against brothers, sisters against sisters, because the color of the skin different. Father God, I lift up this planet, and I lift up all the people of Ukraine and Russia who are going through because of one man's desire to take instead of to live peacefully. Lord God, you know everything. You see everything in you, Lord God, are the author and finisher of our faith, God. And so, Father God, I lift up this word this morning, asking you to bless this word, bless the hearer and the reader of this word, God. And let this word permeate hearts, minds, and spirits, that we know it is from you, your mouth to our ears, God. And we ask you to write it on our hearts and on our minds and on our spirits. So, Father God, as I decrease, God, I ask you to increase. Father, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart this morning be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength, and you are my redeemer. And I ask you, Lord God, to give me strength to travel the highways and byways, Lord God. And I ask you to continue watching over my family, my church family, and my home family, and those that I have gained in friendship, God. I ask you to watch over them, to bless them and to guide them, Lord God, for we are all family. We are all sons and daughters of the Most High. And all we can say is thank you, Father, for loving your children and guiding us and chastising us when we need it. So, Father God, I give this word to you, asking you to give us understanding and discernment. In Jesus' name, I lift up, I look up, I give you honor, glory, and praise, O God. And I can say it's in the name of the Savior again. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, thanking God. I'm getting filled up. And we haven't even started the word yet. But I got filled up from the prayer call I was on this morning. And all I can say is thanking God for men and women who pray and lift each other up and lift up our world. Pray for somebody today. Lift someone up today. Pray for my mother today. Her name is Evelyn, and I ask God to give us many more years together, many more years to travel, many more years of laughter, many more years of the love and the peace that can only come from God. So let's get in our word this morning. We are still in Leviticus, and we're still talking the laws from the Lord. And, you know, it's dealing with cleanliness and holiness. And, you know, yesterday we talked about leprosy, and today we're going to just talk about cleanliness. Moses giving us some understanding of what they have to do in the tabernacle. But we want our blessings to come. We want the Holy Spirit to come. And I just have to, you know, give a word that was given today on the prayer call about the west wind. And as many know, we have this crazy weather thing going on, and it's moving west, east to west. And the west wind blows away in the things that are not. You know, as we read in our Leviticus and Exodus actually, we read how the west wind came and blew out the locusts. You know, when God had sent the plague of locusts to Egypt, the west wind came and blew it away. The west wind will come and blow away all iniquity. And so we thank God today for the west wind blowing. We thank him for his grace and his mercy. And I'm just, again, I'm filled up this morning. And I'm not trying to preach. I just want to do my assignment. But God just keeps putting in my heart to just say, love someone today. Don't walk around with a spirit of offense. because it's not of God. It's just a trick of the enemy to create confusion. So we don't want that in our life. Pray against that offensive spirit. Creates all kinds of foolishness that falls on us in the world. We have to rebuke and bind that spirit of offense in our homes, in our churches, in our state and local legislatures, in our federal legislature, and all over this planet. Let us not get offended over every little thing. We got to stop it because it's not of God. Chapter 14 of Leviticus. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This shall be the law of the leper. For the day of his cleansing, he shall be brought to the priest. And the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall examine him, and indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed two living and clean birds, cedar wood and scarlet, hyssop, and the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water, and for the living bird he shall take it, the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle it seven times on him who is to be cleansed from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field. He who is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. After that, he shall come into the camp and shall stay outside his tent 7 days. But on the seventh day, he shall shave all the hair off his body and his beard and his eyebrows, all his hair he shall shave off. He shall wash his clothes and wash his body in water, and he shall be clean. And on the eighth day, he shall take two male lambs without blemish, one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish, 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, and one log of oil. Then the priest who makes him clean shall present the man who is to be made clean and those things before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And the priest shall take one male lamb and offer it as a trespass offering, and the log of oil, and wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. Then he shall kill the lamb in the place where he kills the sin offering and the burnt offering in a holy place. For as the sin offering is the priest, so is the trespass offering. It is most holy. The priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering. The priest shall put it on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. And the priest shall take some of the log and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. Then the priest shall dip his right finger in the oil that is his left hand, and shall sprinkle some of the oil with his finger 7 times before the Lord, and of the rest of the oil in his hand. The priest shall put some on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of the right foot, on the blood of the trespass offering, the rest of the oil that is in the priest's hand, he shall put on the right, on the head of him who is to be cleansed, so the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord. Then the priest shall offer the sin offering and make atonement for him who is to be cleansed from his uncleanliness, Afterwards, he shall kill the burnt offering, and the priest shall offer the burnt offering and the grain offering on the altar. So the priest shall make atonement for him, and he shall be clean. But if he is poor and cannot afford it, then he shall take one male lamb as a trespass offering to be waved to make atonement for him, one-tenth of an ephah of the flour mixed with oil as a grain offering, a log of oil, and two turtle doves or two young pigeons, such as he is able to afford. One shall be a sin offering and the other a burnt offering. He shall bring them to the priest on the eighth day for his cleansing, to the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord. And the priest shall take the lamb and lamb of the trespass offering and the log of oil, and the priest shall wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. Then he shall kill the lamb of the trespass offering, and the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering and put it on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. And the priest shall pour some of the oil into the palm of his own left hand. Then the priest shall sprinkle with his right finger some of the oil that is in his right hand seven times before the Lord. And the priest shall put some of the oil in his hand on the tip of the right ear of him who is to be cleansed, on the thumb of the right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, on the place of the blood of the trespass offering. The right of the oil that is in the priest's hand, he shall put on the head of him who is to be cleansed, to make atonement for him before the Lord. And he shall offer one of the turtle doves or young pigeons, such as he can afford, such as he is able to afford, the one as a sin offering and the other as a burnt offering with the grain offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him who is to be cleansed before the Lord. This is a law for one who had a leper sore, who cannot afford the usual cleansing. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when you have come into the land of Canaan, which I give you as a possession, and I put the leper's plague in a house in the land of your possession, and he who owns the house comes and tells the priest, saying, it seems to me that there is some plague in the house, then the priest shall command that they empty the house before the priest goes into it to examine the plague, that all that is in the house may be made unclean, not be made unclean. And afterwards, the priest shall go in to examine the house, and he shall examine the plague. And indeed, if the plague is on the walls of the house with ingrained streaks, greenish or reddish, which appear to be deep in the wall, then the priest shall go out of the house to the door of the house and shut the house 7 days. And the priest shall come again on the seventh day and look. And indeed, if the plague is spread on the walls of the house, then the priest shall command that they take away the stones in which is the plague, and they shall cast them into the unclean place outside the city. And he shall cause the house to be scraped inside all around, and the dust that they scrape off they shall pour out in the unclean place outside the city. Then they shall take other stones and put them in the place of those stones, and he shall take other mortar and plaster the house. Now, if the plague comes back and breaks out in the house after he has taken away the stones, after he has scraped the house, and after it has plastered, then the priest shall come and look, and indeed, if the plague is spread in the house, It is an active leprosy in the house. It is unclean. And he shall break down the house, its stones, its timber, and all the plaster of the house, and he shall carry them outside the city to an unclean place. Moreover, he who goes into the house at all while it is shut up shall be unclean until evening. And he who lies down in the house shall wash his clothes. And he who eats in the house shall wash his clothes. But if the priest comes in and examine it, and indeed if it's not spread in the house after the house was plastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean, because the plague is healed. And he shall take to cleanse the house two birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. Then he shall kill one of the birds in an earthen vessel over running water. And he shall take the cedar wood, the hyssop, and the scarlet, and the living bird, and dip them in the blood of the slain bird, and in the running water, and sprinkle the house seven times. And he shall cleanse the house with the blood of the bird, and the running water, and the living bird, and the cedar wood, and the hyssop, and the scarlet. Then he shall let the living bird loose outside the city in the open field and make atonement for the house, and it shall be clean. This is a law for any leprous sore and scale, for the leprosy of a garment and of a house, for a swelling and a stab and a bright spot, to teach when it is unclean and when it is clean. This is the law of leprosy. What a word this morning. And as we go into our life lesson for this Leviticus chapter 14 word, it says, I put the leprous plague in the house in the land of your possession. God is sovereign. Just as the Lord would bring his people into the promised land, so would he afflict some houses in the land with mildew and mold. Why? Perhaps so we will trust him regardless. And understand that was mildew and mold that was in the home. And we have to definitely pray that that does not happen in any of our homes, because it can cause all kinds of ailments. So great word this morning in our Leviticus word. And as we go forth in our psalm this morning, and our psalm is also part of our lesson that I posted today on my Facebook page, because it all fits in with blessings are on the head of the righteous. And it's a prayer, a David prayer, a divinic prayer from David as he prays to the Lord, you know, to examine him. And we have to ask God as well to examine us, for none of us are perfect. We all fall short of God's glory. But all we can say is, thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for caring about us. Thank you, Lord, for vindicating us. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us covered under the blood of Jesus. And it's a Psalm of David, and it's the 26th Psalm, verses 1 through 5. And it says, vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try me, try my mind and my heart. For your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. I'm going to read that again, because it is important. You know, it is one of those things where people of God trying to live right and folks wanting to vilify and tear down. And David was being chased like a dog, and his anointing and put it on David. But David never would touch a hair on Saul's head, because he said he is still anointed of God. Touch not my anointed. He did not want to mess with Saul, even though Saul was chasing him from here to there and everywhere. But David prayed to God. And we must pray to God as well when you're going through, when you're being vilified, when you're being talked about. Pray, vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have also trusted in the Lord. I shall not slip. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart, for your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. I have not sat with idolatrous mortals, nor will I go in with hypocrites. I have hated the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. We got to pray. And as we get into our title word for this morning, Proverbs chapter 10, verses 6 through 7, blessings are on the head of the righteous. Can I say it again? Blessings are on the head of the righteous. For the Holy Spirit, blessings are on the head of the righteous. But violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. We don't want to be wicked in this world. We are sons and daughters of God, and we want to act like it. Proverbs 10 and 7, the memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. Time will show the quality of all our works and deeds. People who were scorned because they honored God will be vindicated. People who rose to places of prominence through wicked means will eventually be revealed for what they really are. Better take that to the bank. We're seeing it every day laid out on our newsways. Wicked folks getting theirs, because you cannot do things just to do them and treat people any old kind of way. That is not of God. And God will hold us accountable for how we treat our fellow men. And as we get into our Mark word this morning, we're in Mark chapter 3, starting at verse 20 to verse 35. And it says this, then the multitude came together again so that they could not so much as eat bread. But when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of the demons, he cast out demons. And this is a word that we as nations all over this country need to into our heart and into our mind. So he called them to himself and said to them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. Can I say it again? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. We cannot walk in offense. It keeps coming up in my spirit, that spirit of offense divides families. That spirit of offense divides kingdom. And a kingdom itself, it will not stand. If a house is divided against itself, it shall not stand. If families are divided against themselves, they will fall apart. We cannot allow the enemy to come in and divide our families, divide our church houses, divide our state houses, divide our country. We got to pray against that spirit. Jesus said it. We cannot be a divided nation. We cannot be divided families or people of God, because we will not stand if we are divided. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but has an end. Did y'all catch that? all I got to say to this is, where is the Roman Empire? Where's the Roman Empire? It did not stand. We have to pray. We have to pray without ceasing for God to bring unity into this world, because we will fall. America, which I love, it's my country. It's where I was born. It's where my mother was born. It's where my grandmother was born. My great grandmothers and the greats before them were born. This is my country, and I love it. And I don't want us to be divided based on foolishness, tricks of the enemy to keep us at each other's throats. We have to pray. We have to pray, and we have to pray more and more. We don't want a civil war on our country's soil. It was devastating, and it's still being played out with hatred and violence. And we have to pray that rot out. It needs to be dug out and dealt with. And it will not come until the truth comes out of the horrible things that happened in this nation. They were horrible. They were horrific, godly. But until the truth is told, history unknown is history repeated. We've got to take accountability for the actions of our forefathers. We've got to pray, and we got to ask God to pull out that awful rot to save this nation. A house divided against itself cannot stand. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. Assuredly, I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men, and whatever blasphemous they may utter, but he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness. Say it again. He who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation, because they said he has an unclean spirit. He has an unclean spirit. It is not yours to call. We have to pray. And it says this, then his brothers and his mother came, and standing outside, they sent to him, calling him, and a multitude was sitting around him. And they said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you. But he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brothers? And he looked around in a circle at those who sat about him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. Wow. And this is the life lesson, and we have an unpardonable sin, what the Bible says also. And in our life lesson, it says, when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. You know, a prophet in his own home will not be accepted. And Jesus' family was like, oh, no, he done went crazy. Although you ask yourself, how could Mary think he had gone crazy considering the fact she knew he was the child of God. It says, when Jesus' family heard of the long hours he spent ministering to every growing crowd, they grew concerned for his well-being and sought to take him home. Even some of them did not at first believe in him. His mama was like, these people are wearing him out. And she's like, I'm going to get my son. Because they're wearing him out. He can't even sit down. He can't rest because they're constantly coming. So she was coming to get her son. And then his brothers, they weren't quite sure what was going on. And they didn't believe who he was. And I'm sure it was whispering in the household that Jesus was the Son of God. I'm sure he had done some miracles growing up that his brothers thought, something ain't quite right with him. But did you see, he brought that bird back to life. Something ain't quite right with our brother. But he's our older brother and we love him. Must pray. Pray for your families. Pray for your siblings. Pray for your parents. And if they have gone to glory, thank God that they are in his presence. And pray that they have been saved. That's what you pray for. Pray that they have been saved. Praise the Lord, somebody. Praise the Lord, saints, this morning. Give God the glory with me this morning. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this mighty word today. And as we go forth today, what the Bible says about the unpardonable sin. And what is the unpardonable sin? To blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And Dr. Stanley breaks it down very well for us this morning. And again, for those that are just joining, this is Blog Talk Radio, and you are listening to Moving Forward with Minister Bridget. And we are a Bible study where our goal and our assignment is to read the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelations. Amen. And I am coming again this year out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And our prayers are coming out of the 365 Days of Prayer for Life. And it is a prayer book. And Sister Carolyn from Carolyn's Gift provides our word of devotion for the morning. Our word of affirmation, our word to just get us up and moving. And the word for today from Dr. Stanley, the unpardonable sin, what the Bible says about it. And I'm going to get my King James out because we may have a few more scriptures to hit and go through this morning from this scripture. And from this particular part of our lesson. And it says, this sin against the Holy Spirit is called the unpardonable sin. And many people have written to me because they're afraid they have committed it. However, people are usually wrong about what they think the unpardonable sin is. Jesus said in Mark chapter 3, verses 28 through 29, all sins will be forgiven, the sins of men, and whatever blasphemous they may utter. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal damnation. So what does Jesus mean? Understanding that what the Pharisees had been accusing Jesus of was using Satan's power to cast out demons. Mark chapter 3, verse 22. We just read that this morning. Can you imagine that? They were saying that Jesus was acting as an enemy of God by setting people free of their satanic strongholds. However, we know that Jesus carried out his ministry completely by God's power, by the power of God and God's Spirit. And we saw that in Mark chapter 1, verse 10 through 11. However, we must remember that the Pharisees who knew the law and were supposed to protect the truth were very jealous as they watched Jesus heal people. They knew that Jesus was operating under the power of God, but they were angry because Jesus was threatening their positions of honor and control. If they admitted that Jesus' power was from God, they would have to give up all their authority to him. And that was the last thing they wanted to do. So for the sake of their reign, they lied about the source of Jesus' power. You know, they lied about quite a few things. Lied about his resurrection. And continue to lie about it to this day in some circles. But we know that Jesus is the Son of God. We know that he rose from the dead. We know that he sits on the right hand of the Father, interceding every moment, minute, hour, nanosecond for me and you. Hallelujah. And it says that is the essence of the unpardonable sin. The Pharisees chose to reject the work of the Holy Spirit for their own greedy purposes. They lied by saying that what Jesus had done was the work of Satan. This is defiant irreverence toward the work of God, and it is completely inexcusable. These Pharisees were supposed to lead the people of God. However, what they really did was deliberately impede God's work. That's exactly what they did, and we see it today. There are churches that will fight against a church that they know is a believing in God teaching church just because they feel that, well, they might be trying to take my members. They might be trying to do this. No, we got to let that foolishness go. We are all children of God. And if somebody leaves, that may be God's will. Because whatever leaves, God always sends back double for your trouble. So don't worry about it. Don't get caught up in the he said, she said, they said. And definitely don't blaspheme and ask God, why, Lord? Why not? That's what he told me. I'm just speaking for myself. When I had my moment with, why, God, did you do this, that, and the other? And why did you do it to me? And God said, why not you? Why not? Why not you? You're no better than anyone else. Yes, you're going to go through trials. Yes. I'm going to sharpen you, daughter. And iron sharpens iron. And God will sharpen you to be better. I got a lot of work to do. But I know I'll get it accomplished because God is on my side. Hallelujah. And it goes on to say, of course, you may be wondering, how can I know if I've ever committed the unpardonable sin? Let me explain it to you. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. Explain it to us. While Jesus was here on earth in his earthly body, the unpardonable sin it is today. This is because Jesus Christ's crucifixion and resurrection changed everything. Before Jesus went to the cross, people were required to keep the law. Wherever they committed sins against God, they would make sacrifices to cover them. Excuse me. These sacrifices were very costly. Unfortunately for the Pharisees, there was no provision for being deceitful about the work of God. There was absolutely no sacrifice that could cover that, not under the law. Of course, when Jesus died on the cross, he forgave all of our sins. 1 John 2:1 says, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. We no longer have to offer a sacrifice each time we sin because Jesus' death on the cross, because Christ's death on the cross was sufficient to forgive any and every act of sin. Anyone who wants to be forgiven can call upon Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Jesus is our ultimate, final, and complete sacrifice. Today, salvation is. When Jesus is your Savior, you cannot commit the unpardonable sin as the Pharisees did. Their situation cannot repeat itself because of what Jesus provided for us on the cross. However, understand that there is still a way that a person can sin against the Holy Spirit that is unpardonable. Instead of the unpardonable sin, I'll call it the unpardonable state. Hebrews 10:26-27 tells us, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment. The unpardonable state in which is when people deliberately choose to reject the Lord Jesus after hearing the good news of salvation. They completely turn away from God and willfully choose not to believe in Christ as their Savior under any condition. What have they done? They have chosen to remain without forgiveness for their sins. Friends, if you've never received Jesus as your Savior, do not remain in the unpardonable state. Turn to him. Ask him to forgive your sins and trust him to save you. It's the best decision you'll ever make. And I tell you, it was the best decision I ever made, was to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And all I can say is I get filled up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And our prayer for this morning is this: far away. In God, whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust, I shall not be afraid. What can mere men do to me? The 56th Psalm, verse 4. And we're going to go to the King James Version for that scripture this morning. So please join me in the 56th Psalm. And we're going to go to verse number 4, King James, and it says, in God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Oh, hallelujah, what a word. And I just got to go a little bit further in the 56th Psalm. It's a song for distressed. If you're going through, this is a word for you. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He, fighting daily, oppresses me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they may be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they risk my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into the bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God I will praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. They vows are upon me. O God, thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. I got to read that again. Thou vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death with thou. Not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers and the readers of his mighty word. And as we pray, ever-present one, most holy God, you know that I have put my trust in you. Time and time again, over and over, I have given you space in my heart and my life to do what you would. When I can't see through the storm raging around me, strengthen my heart to continue to choose you. You are Emmanuel, God with us. So I will remember that even when my heart shakes under the weight of the unknown and anxiety threatens to steal my peace, you are with me. Let that knowledge sink into my bones until it is a part of my very foundation. You are with me. I will continue to trust you no matter what happens. You are fully aware of all the earth's goings on. I rest in you, not needing to know it all, but leaning on the one who does. You are with me, and I will be with you. Hallelujah. And the question for today, what fear has been holding you back from fully trusting God? Are you trusting the Father today? I am all of you today. Let God arise in your life so that your enemies are scattered. Don't worry about he said, she said. Just know that you are a child of God and that you are loved. Blessings are on the head of the righteous. You are righteous in the Lord. Thank him today that he loves you more than you can ever imagine. Praise the Lord with me. Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord and give him all of you. And as we go into our word from our sister in Christ and wrap it up, good morning. Don't let what people think or say bother you. Come on now. We are who God says we are. Have a wonderful Wednesday. And our sister in Christ just pulled it all together and made it whole. Thanking God for Sister Carolyn and this wonderful word that just brings it all together. Don't let what people think of or say bother you. We are who God says we are. Have a wonderful Wednesday, family. If there's anyone that has a word that God has given them, now is the time to speak. Push the one on your phone if you have called 213-943-3597. And if you are already on that line, the one, if you would like to speak. If not, we are wrapping it up because I have to travel today. Please keep me in your prayers as I travel the highway to spend the afternoon with my mother for her birthday and possibly this evening as well. So I thank God for traveling grace. I thank God for all of you. And I know that blessings are on all of your heads, but you carry the righteousness of God. Have a blessed day, family. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day in the Lord. For God is with us, and he loves us. Thank you so much. Be blessed. Have a great day. It's a wrap.